All right, it's Josh Culler here, host of the REI Marketing Weekly, and man, am I excited to announce to you guys a brand new book that is actually coming out very soon. It is available for pre-order right now. It's called the REI Marketing Book. It is literally just a collaboration full of nuggets from 50 of the top real estate investors in the country. It is 100% geared towards helping you with your marketing and your real estate investing business. And how do you get a hold of it? Well, you can simply go to reimarketingbook.com to get a hold of that. Right now, it is available for pre-order and should be published within the next couple of months. So make sure you go grab your copy. We've spent a lot of man hours putting this book together for you guys that is just jam-packed full of nuggets and bits of information about how these guys run their marketing in the real estate investing business. So make sure not to miss out on that. Now let's go ahead and jump into the REI Marketing Weekly for the Who's Crushing It segment. Make sure to take notes and let's make it happen. Welcome back to the REI Marketing Weekly. It's your host, Josh Culler with Culler Media and REI.video. And I'm super excited to have a good friend of mine, Andrew Newland, on the line out of Springfield, Missouri. Andrew, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing great, Josh. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm excited to have you on the show, man. This has been good. So it's kind of funny. The first time that we ever met, so we're actually a part of a mastermind together, Collective Genius. Absolutely fantastic mastermind. Actually, some of the last few guests that I've had on the show are out of CG. So that's kind of funny. But anyway, that's maybe tells you something, right? But Andrew and I have met, and actually the first time we met was at one of my clients' offices, Dixie Decker. So Dixie is the queen of student housing. That's what her branding is. She does student housing. She's just a master at it. And I don't even remember what we were doing. I think we were recording some videos and you were coming in to talk about your business. She was kind of doing an interview with you. And then you were talking about some things. Actually, I believe you were talking about some marketing things. I was like, this guy's kind of sharp. And, you know, a little bit of a younger guy in his early 30s and whatnot. And then we started hanging out more at CG. And I'm like, dude, let's get you on the podcast to talk about some stuff. And when we were talking about what to discuss on the show with you, you mentioned something interesting. You're like, dude, 2019, we tried so many different things in marketing that it literally either made us broke or got us super damn close to breaking us, right? And so I think that it's going to be a really good episode opening that up and talking about what not to do in your marketing. Literally, like the title of the episode, I think I told you, is going to be something like how to go broke in your marketing. And we're going to have Andrew discuss all the things that he learned through that process and where he's brought it back up today. And obviously, I think you're going in the proper, like the exact right direction in what you're doing. Just some of the things that you told me that you're doing. So before we get into it, do me a huge favor, Andrew, briefly introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, a little bit about your business and how you got into real estate. And then we're going to hop on in.
Yep. My name is Andrew Newland. I'm in Springfield, Missouri. I own OzarksHouseBuyers.com, where we do a mixture, good, healthy mixture of wholesaling, fix and flips, and then small rental portfolio here in Springfield. I'm also a co-owner of the 806 House Buyers down in Lubbock, Texas, where we strictly do wholesaling and some wholetailing down there as well. Bought my first rental property back in 2013 with a business partner. The intention was just to buy a couple houses a year, and then it kept just growing from there. In about 2015, we decided to fire our bosses, and we went full-time wholesaling, and it just kept growing and growing, and here we are.
Here we are. All right. So let's talk about this, man. What not to do in your marketing. So I don't even know how to begin this. I want you to just kind of open it up, go, you know, wind the clocks back to, you know, I think it was 2019 is what you told me. Start talking about it. What were the things that you, first of all, let's talk about the mindset. Like, what were you thinking about when you were going into doing your marketing and creating the strategies, and then lead that into how that actually broke you and put you over the top, and then how we're recovering now. So let's start about, you know, what made you go after all these marketing channels to ramp up all of that, you know, cost and expense?
Well, if I was to put it into two words, it'd be the collective genius.
Yeah.
We joined end of 2018, and it took me about three meetings where I just bit onto everything. I was like, why? Yeah. Everyone else is no different from me. A lot of them have been doing longer and have a bigger system and operations, but I kind of got too big for my britches. And so end of that year, we decided to throw everything at the wall. Like, we threw all the fuel in the fire we possibly could. And so we tripled our direct mail marketing budget here in Springfield. we did almost the same down in Lubbock. We were virtually not doing a whole lot in Lubbock, and we really wanted to ramp it up and get on the same speed as Springfield. We hired 5 cold callers to do cold calling in-house, wow. You know, virtual assistants, but they, you know, worked directly for us. They weren't from an outside third party company. I have no experience cold calling. It makes me sick to my stomach. So it's nothing that I ever did. So I certainly was not qualified.
You didn't know what it took.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll hire these 5 people that say they've cold called before. I'll give them a script I stole from someone else. Say good luck. We decided to switch CRM systems. We're using a very good product at the time, but it's very inbox. You know, you couldn't tweak it to what you wanted, didn't report the way we wanted. And we switched to the infamous Podio, which is just so open and, you know, breaks and all sorts of crazy stuff. I hired 3 sales reps. We always had one, and we decided, hey, if we triple down on this, then somehow we'll make it work. And we switched locations, different offices. And I had a baby all in about 6 to 7 weeks. We did all that. Wow.
6-7 weeks?
Yeah. All in 6-7 weeks.
Wow.
We pulled the trigger on everything. And it's like, let's do this. What's the worst thing? Right. And it was our philosophy was, and I totally forgot. I think the icing on the cake is we turn on TV ads as well. So anyone, mm-hmm. if you had someone on your show that's worked with Darren and Doug, TV ads definitely feeds your pipeline. And we just were not ready for that. So, and our lead manager is new. We had let go the previous lead manager, and she had only been with us for a couple of weeks up to that point. So we really set ourselves up for failure. And the worst part of it, though, I think that really caused us to be in a really bad spot in about mid-February, early March, and we realized, hey, something's not right. You know, we've always operated with some good amount of capital. We're very frugal. We set aside reserves, and we just kind of, you know, jumped into our finances. It's not there anymore. Like, we're in a kind of a very scary spot. And we do volume, you know, for us in our level, in our market. I feel like we do volume and I'm happy with it. But we should be better off financially than this. And then what we came to realize, and that happened right before March when COVID, you know, officially became a pandemic for the United States and we entered that recession. And so the timing of it was just crazy. We realized that we threw all this stuff at the wall, but we never went back to see what stuck. You know, like, we never measured anything. I didn't measure the progress in the cold callers, and I didn't see, hey, are we even getting deals off these? I just figured, hey, you know, all this stuff is coming in. And then we did the TV ads. I didn't realize that, like, hey, you know, you should be tracking your answer rate and your contact rate. Like, out of all the people that call you, how many of them are you actually answering phone calls? And then all the ones you miss, how many you get back on the phone? Well, I had a good friend of mine, Christina Krause, jump into our system, and she had to.
Oh, no, you had Christina get in there? Oh man, she would rip you up.
You know it. We're just talking about something one day, and she goes, well, I'm going to jump in and look at some data. And she goes, we need to get
that's up. Dangerous, bro. That is dangerous.
Later, I was so humbled. It wasn't even funny. She doesn't hold back. And I love her. That she saved my business. There's 2 people that without a shout out saved my business last year. And it was Darren and Christina. No doubt in my mind. They both really set me straight at the right time. And
you couldn't get too bad. Like Christina, love her to death. And this is a call out because I've been trying to get her on the show and we're going to make it happen. But absolutely, like, her mind when it comes to marketing is just stellar. And then Darren's just on another level with, especially like TV ads, more of the actual direct to seller marketing, I think. So
in operational,
you did the right thing reacting, which I think is a good idea. It's like getting 2 professionals in there that know marketing inside out to take a look at what you're doing and correct it all. You did the right thing.
That fault too is we outsourced everything, which I think has its pros and cons. And ultimately, I'm an outsourcing type of guy. I want to leverage other people's experiences and you know, quicker path to action. I'm a perfectionist, so I get in my way a lot. So if I just hand it to someone else and they do it, but I did it to too many things. I wasn't able to measure what was working, what wasn't working. And when you outsource it, you're going to pay more for it, so your profit margin is going to be smaller. And so since then, we just narrowed it down to a couple of campaigns that were channels that we feel is our best. And we're working on our KPIs and our marketing so we know, hey, what is working, what's not working. I've told my team, we're not going to add any more or increasing more marketing until we're able to measure it. And then we can make a decision within 90 days to keep going forward or not. Whereas before, we just threw it up the wall and then we kind of like had a very subjective decision-making process. Like,
it was more of a gut feeling like, oh, yeah. this seems like it's working. We'll keep it. Yeah.
And your phone's off, ringing off the hook like it was because it was crazy. It feels good. It feels like you're doing business. And then you start blaming other things in your business, you know, your sales or something else. And really that's not the case. You just couldn't handle the leads and qualify, qualifying them correctly.
Yeah. So let's go ahead. There's a lot to unpack here. Like there's a lot of things that I want to talk about. So number one, because it's more fresh, and then we'll track back to one of the first things that you kind of opened up on. You mentioned outsourcing. I think here's my opinion. So we've actually had this conversation on a Collective Genius call. I think it was actually the influencer call, and Scott Myers was running it. And it was really like, we were literally like playing ping pong back and forth between me, Lee Arnold, and Scott Myers in this conversation. And the conversation was, should you outsource all of your marketing or bring it all in house? My answer, and Scott and Lee runs a monster company, all said the same thing. When it comes down to it, the number one thing you should do in your marketing is hire a marketing director. And the director is going to be a lot more of an integrator than anything, because right. You'll never find somebody in marketing that can do everything. Nobody's going to be able to do video production, running Facebook ads, direct mail, TV ads, SEO, PPC. They're not going to be able to do all of it, guys. There's maybe like two or three marketing agencies in the world that I know of that can actually do all of those things. And even they will outsource some things. So the marketing director is in place to integrate everything. So you can't expect them to do all of your things in marketing. And so what they're meant to do is to direct. They can outsource, but they have to manage those outsourcing, right? So that's kind of the thought that we had come up with, and it's like, and that's what Lee's doing. Lee again, running a monster machine. And so is Scott, and they do that. And I'll give it, for instance, last week I was with Mark Delator out there in Kansas City, and he's one of the biggest buyers, if not the biggest buyer in all of Kansas City. And he's got a marketing director, and she hired our company to do video production for them. Now she is going to integrate the videos that we produce. She's going to integrate that back into their marketing and then disperse it how they're supposed to. Right. So it's not like Mark was calling me, or even Chris, his actual integrator, Chris John's not calling me. Like, his marketing director got a hold of us and was managing all the projects. Right. And so that is, I think, the key thing when it comes down to it. And obviously, off the bat, you know, where you guys were at, you may not have been able to afford a marketing director.
Right.
And that's why it's important to bring it down and not try everything. Right. Cause then, like you said, you're not gonna be able to manage it all. You're not gonna be able to.
Like, you gotta drive revenue first before you can upgrade this vehicle. And it's funny, just had our quarterly meeting, and one of the rocks is I'm handing that marketing piece off to what would be my integrator. We're a small team, so I don't know if that title is necessarily fitting, but she is my right hand person that does a lot of my admin for me. And
well, especially with like a wholesaling company is pretty much just marketing and sales. That's literally all it is. Yep. So an integrator would be a perfect person to integrate your marketing.
Exactly. So it could be, you know, you don't need a full-time dedicated CMO or something, but having something like, this is now your responsibility, because I've got a couple projects on my plate that I'm supposed to respond for marketing, like with our AdWords team and stuff. And and I just keep, I got my hand in too many pots right now. I just need to get that to her, so she reports to me on these two or three KPIs. So I say, hey, we're healthy or we're not healthy.
Yeah.
Before we move forward. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So then let's track back a little bit further. Trying everything in marketing, not a good idea, right? Like that. I think you learned that. And I think everybody has been there, man. Like everybody, especially you walk into a room like Collective Genius and you see what everybody's doing, which could be the danger in walking into such a high caliber room when, you know, like me, I'm walking in, I'm like at the bottom of the totem pole and seeing what everybody's doing. And I know my business is a lot different than like what yours is or any other house buyer is. But some of the worst things in the world, I tell people all the time, is like, you just can't try everything at once. One of my mentors, best friends in the world, Gary Harper, always says the power of three, like power of three across the board doesn't matter. So when I was actually working for Gary, we would always do three marketing strategies, go hard at those. And then you rotate in marketing strategies if one doesn't work. And then if you at some point master all three of them and they're all working, now you can add another one or two until you master it, keep adding those on. And like you're saying, you guys didn't do that. And that's where, you know, a lot of it, you know, kind of surfaced, reared its head, right? So what are some of the key lessons you learned out of that? Like, what are you doing now to make sure that does not happen again? I know you skimmed over it just a little bit, but let's open that up, because we want to see where we're going now and how you've recovered from that.
So I think the first thing is to identify goals with your marketing. And I think for, especially for us, you know, marketing was never goal oriented. Just like, hey, we spend X amount on direct mail, then I mean, and this is a horrible way of thinking. I was like, hey, all I need to do is one or two deals a month or a quarter just to pay that off. So surely I can get that done, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, I was going to say making the goal deals, that should be like the end goal.
Exactly.
But it should not be the only KPI that you're measuring. That's the danger, right?
Right. We were like saying that, but so I think one of the things is like setting a, you know, an ROI, return on investment, things your most fundamental, like, is this even worth your time? It's 100%. Yeah. You're breaking even, but is it worth the phone call? So we were looking at some stuff like, hey, we're making a little bit of money on TV ads, but our direct mail dropped significantly. And so that return on investment, TV ads actually decreased this return on investment because we overload our system. So we weren't answering all these phone calls and we weren't getting contact with everyone. So I took this out, the return investment went up more and then increased our profit margin. And so I think just having a goal of a ROI and then backed up by that profit margin number, which is our two key KPIs for this year, is the first most. And then a way of tracking it before you even pull the trigger on it. You know, we threw a bunch of stuff at the wall. I think visionaries tend to do that, and entrepreneurs, especially ones that have a team that.
No, Andrew, no, we do not do that, Andrew. Yeah. That's not true.
Exactly. I'm sure there's a dozen or two books on that. So it makes it worse when you have a team that will clean up the mess behind you, you know, because then it's just, you're like, oh, don't worry about it, whatever. So now we've committed, like, hey, we're going to have a goal with each marketing channel, and then we're going to be able to measure on day one and then have a deadline of reviewing it. You know, say, hey, if we're going to do this in 90 days, we'll sit down together as a team to review and say, does this make sense to keep going or not?
I love it. I like that you mentioned that too. I think a lot of people don't set the goals before they try something, right? Like, and I agree. There's a lot of times, you know, as entrepreneurs, we do want to ready, fire, aim before you do anything. We just want to go, go, go. But the danger in that when it comes to marketing is that I always tell people test, test, test. Like, marketing is all testing. And so it's not a bad thing if your marketing doesn't work, but you got to know your metrics so that you can shut it off if it doesn't work.
You don't want to think if it's broken, you're just going to run yourself to the ground.
Absolutely. And so, like, you know, we're not discouraged. There's a lot of mixture to this, right? There's, you don't want to just only do marketing that works. You got to try something different, right? If you're only doing text blasting, cold calling, direct mail at this point, everybody else in your market is doing that right now. You got to do something different to stand out. So test things, but you have to have those KPIs in place. Like Andrew said, put them in place first before you try it, and then keep your pulse on it along the way. Be willing to shut it off if it's not bringing in any ROI. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And go back to that question too. I think the third and final thing, the lesson learned, is make sure your system can handle it. Like, well, that's the ultimate, what we did. We just broke it. We added, four new channels, or we increased and added four channels, and significantly to triple, go from mailing 10,000 people to 35,000 people overnight, and add TV ads and, you know, all that stuff, and cold calling with five cold callers. It's just that our team broke and we were stressed and stuff. So I want to make sure you can, you know, handle an increase or an influx in leads and conversions. And to only do one at a time. All those things we did, I am very confident that if we implement them right now, they'd be successful. If we did one at a time, I knew how to track it. But doing all of them at once, I didn't know what wasn't working. I didn't know anything was broken anyways. So
yeah.
Measure and team.
I'm glad you brought that up. So do you think that we're broke? Like, so you were getting leads, right? You were getting good quality leads. Well, okay, so where it broke wasn't that you weren't spending, like, it's not that you were spending money, it's that your back end, your sales process wasn't in place, and you couldn't close deals, you couldn't take the leads on, and man, okay.
Yeah, going from averaging 120 leads a month to almost 400 leads when we're running TV ads. And so, because we did all at the same time, and TV ads, they'll turn it on quick. And now a lot of those are not qualified leads, right? These are just contacts.
Yeah.
Contacts right. And the leads, once we talk to them, say they have a house to sell, it's a house we want to buy, then they're a lead. But still, we quadrupled the amount of people reaching out to us.
Yeah.
And we're responding to people that should not have been prioritized over the people being, you know, that were more motivated, more qualified for us to talk to.
This is great conversation. Everybody needs to hear this. This is where sales and marketing go parallel with each other. Like, this is where it happens, because you can overload your marketing and literally bring in leads all day long. You heard Andrew, like, they quadrupled their leads and it still broke them. If your backend system on the sales process and on the delivery, the execution of what you're doing, right? So for you, it'd be buying houses. Then it's all going to be wasteful money, no matter how many leads you bring in. So sure. I'm glad you brought that up. That is such a good conversation to have, because a lot of people don't think about that. They're like, yeah, I'm just going to market. And then they don't keep a pulse on it. They don't have their sales process in line. And then they wonder why their business is going broke.
You get to a point, like, with 400 leads, you're going to get more low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
You're going to have a hard time identifying those low hanging fruit, because you're weeding through so many people, and you can't give every client the amount of time and effort that you need with each person to nurture them along your sales process.
No. And unless you have like four lead managers, right. And you mentioned you had one that had just started, I think you said.
Yeah. Oh, if we had four lead managers, we would have smoked it. We'd be great.
Yeah.
Let's call right now. So it's a balance, and you have to increase one before you increase the other, but it has to be, you know, incremental, a little bit here, a little bit there. I went all in on marketing and didn't look at my system and my sales. And so we all last year rebuilding our foundation. We started financials. We got to know where we stand financially, rebuilding our sales process and sales systems so we can handle it. And it got really good at the marketing channels we're doing now. And we're about to the point now that we can start be a little more aggressive with our scaling.
Yeah, man, that is huge. And this is where, like, I actually kind of talk about this theory a little bit, where I think you should definitely form a lot of people, like, look at marketing and they're like, we just got to bring leads and close deals in. I look at it as a standpoint of, like, where do I want my business to go? How do I want my business to end up? Because there's a lot of people, Andrew, that are in, you know, CG that they do high-end fix and flips. So volume does not matter to them. They don't care about volume. They don't care about doing 100 deals a year. They want to do like 10 that are making $1 million in profits per deal, or, so, you know, whether it's a large commercial property or something like that, like big spreads. And so this is why it's so important for you to understand what your business goals are. But I also go as deep, Andrew, as to say life goals. So, like, for me and my business, I have a very strategic plan on how many clients I want to take in at a time, because I don't want to onboard 10 clients in a month, because it's going to drain me of my time and resources. And my goals are to work less in the business, spend more time with my wife, spend more time with my family, my puppies, and, you know, like, just have fun. And I love having fun. Like, I have leisure time. I'm a video gamer. Like, I love all that stuff. And so I actually build my marketing around those goals.
Right.
Because I could ramp, I'm a good marketer. I could ramp up all my marketing and bring in, you know, 100 leads a month when I only need like 2 or 3 a month. But now I'm going to swamp myself and I'm not going to be achieving goals that I wanted to for my life and my business. Right. And I think a lot of people get that thing mixed up. They try to start with marketing first, and then they, you know, they don't really have business goals, and that's a mistake as well. But they should all be in alignment: marketing goals and business and life goals. Especially if you're the CEO, all of three of them, I think, should be in alignment with each other.
Right.
So,
whereas most people believe in strength in numbers,
it's
almost the opposite. Because I guarantee you, bring in 100 leads and probably qualify 5 or 10 clients. But if you focus on 2 or 3 leads, convert those, you can probably get more revenue out of those 2 or 3 with less work, more satisfaction, absolutely, more meaningful and passion than 5 or 10 after weeding through another 90.
Absolutely. And that's why, like, my marketing strategies are so fine-tuned. Like, I know exactly where I want to market to and who I want to market to. And I do my best to weed people out inside of my marketing that I would not want to work with. Like, I don't want to work with micromanagers. I don't want to work with the hustlers, the grinders, the people that talk about doing volume, revenue. Like, I want to hear net profit. I want to hear life goals. I want to spend more time with my family. Those are the people I want to work with. Right. And so I make that very well known in the marketing I put out, and that gets me to the places that I want to be. And that's what happens, man. Dude, this has been such a good conversation. I love this. It went awesome, man. You delivered some massive bombs. So I appreciate this. I appreciate your time on the show here. We'll look forward to having you back again soon too. And I'll look forward to seeing you. I don't even know when the next CG is, man. I think it's back in Tampa, but
yeah,
maybe May or June. Yeah, June. I don't know. Tampa in June. Oh, man. That's not
right there on the beach. Right there on the beach.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe that'll make it better. Anyway, dude, thank you so much for being on the show. If somebody wanted to connect with you, learn more about what you got going on. Maybe they are in the Springfield market or even in the Texas market that you're operating in as well. Maybe they just want to connect with you in some way, shape, or form. What's the best way to make that happen? You could leave a Facebook, email, phone number, website, whatever you want to leave. What's the best way to make that happen?
Yeah, you can find our Facebook page, Ozarks, that's with an S, Ozarks House Buyers. My name, Andrew Newland on Facebook. That's the only social media platform I'm on. So don't yell at me. I'm fixing it this year. Or you can email me at andrew@ozarkshousebuyers.com.
Awesome. And guys, we'll have all of that linked down in the description below. If you're watching on YouTube, if you are on the podcast, it'll be in the show notes on reimarketingweekly.com. Andrew, thank you for joining us today. I look forward to having you back again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Josh.
All right, guys, that is going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining in and listening or watching, whichever one you're doing. If you haven't already, make sure you have subscribed to the show on the podcast platforms. If you are on Apple Podcasts, now is the time to head over, leave me a 5-star review with your feedback. I would much appreciate that. And if you're not already, make sure you have subscribed to me on YouTube because I'm going hard at YouTube, guys. That's where it's going down right now. And so I'm going hard at YouTube. You can look for me at The Content Ninja. Just type in The Content Ninja or Josh Coller and you'll find me there. We're putting out 4 videos a week now. We're going to go up to 5. We're going to do daily videos very soon. So make sure, and we're talking about all things marketing, all things content marketing, real estate investing marketing, all of it. So go follow me there. Also on TikTok and Instagram at The Content Ninja, putting out daily content there as well. And then also, if you haven't already, order the REI marketing book. It is coming out soon. I promise, guys, we had some issues with our publishers, but we've got an alignment and we're actually in process of printing them right now is when this episode's going out. And so reimarketingbook.com is where you can go pick that up. It's a 210-page book. I've got it sitting over there, but I'm not going to get up and get it so I don't get out of the frame. But reimarketingbook.com, it's only $4.95, free plus shipping offer. Yes, you are dropping into my marketing funnel. This is a marketing show, so this is not a secret. Make sure you go pick that up. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we will catch you on the next one. See you later.